Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
On the first, some glad morning when the sap is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, sing it now, yes, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars have flown. I'll fly away, I'll sing now. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy should never end. I'll fly away, sing it now, yes, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when one more time, yes, I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Amen.
New heaven. could not go to him, he came to me. Amen. The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never afford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I can't. Chains of my sin, he came to me when I possessed no hope within. I like this. Oh, then he ran and he picked me up and he drew so gentle to his side. And today in his sweet love I now abide. I'm so glad for the day that Jesus, he came to me. Yes, he came to me. When I could not come to where he was, he came running down to me. Yes, and I'm so glad. So glad he died. Oh, Calvary, when I could not come to where he was, he came to me. To where he was, he came to me, he came to me,
I'm glad one day he came to me. I never will forget that day, and made a difference in my life. Many of you have heard my testimony through the years, how God came into my heart. When I was a young boy, maybe about 10 or 12 years of age, somewhere along that, we were going to what they call protractive meeting. Now, you young whippersnappers do not know what protractive meeting is. Today, we call it revival. But it was up there at a little church out from Alpharetta, Georgia. And the preacher got up and he started preaching, and he was, boy, back in those days, the ladies sit on the one side with the pallets and the kids, the little babies on the pallets, and on the other side, the amen corner. When the preacher got up to preach, I mean, he preached heaven sure and hell hot. Well, I had been baptized at the age of 12 as a young kid thinking I was saved, but that night, that day, I did go down, and I was coerced, and I said, yes, I'm saved and baptized. I lived for a Christian, good old Christian life, until I was 20 years of age. On the road from Atlanta, Georgia, over to Villarica, there was a terrible accident. We had gone to sing at a church revival, a trio that I was singing with, and on the way back there, little Leland, Georgia, a little small community. Some of you might be familiar with that area. Sharp curve. Just before we got to that curve, there was actually, before we got to that road, we had stopped at a red light, and back in those days, they had just made the laws in Atlanta that you had to stop. If there's a red light, you could not go right or left. You had to stop. So I was stopped just long enough to ask the people that was with me, do you think I ought to go on or should I stop? About that time, this big heavy Buick got in front of me. We had not gone a mile and a half into this sharp curve. And this car of teenage boys, brand new Oldsmobile automobiles. And you know how young boys can be. They get behind the wheel and they don't know when to slow down. And they were coming down the road so fast they had lost control and they were actually sweeping the highway this way, coming right down toward us. Just about that time, and I realized we were going to be impacted, I told the people who was with me, say, pray. This might be it. But about that time, that car hit that brand new Buick, hit that Oldsmobile that was in front of us and went up into the air. And looking straight up at that thing, coming back at us, I said, help, Lord. And when I said, help, Lord, the balance of that car shifted and it dropped over into the ditch right beside our car. Doors flew open, boys' bodies flew out, blood all over the place. I came under real Holy Ghost conviction that night. In such a way until it took me 2 months to get it settled. I was working in the office at Atlanta Service Warehouse, and I'd come home, I'd pray the Lord, would you save me? I'd listen to the preacher on the radio, the big gun at that time, and he preached a wonderful message, and that was just adding fuel to the fire. And I got out of my car, and I walked, didn't go into the house, I just walked over behind some rock boulders. That time they were completing I-85 North, and going right beside the house that I was living, got over behind those boulders, got down on my knees, and I prayed, Lord, would you save me? Prayed for a good long time. Nothing happened. I finally gave up. I said, well, Lord, look, it does not look like you're going to save me. I might as well just get up and go into the house. And they were having revival over Defoe Avenue. Gentleman back there was a member of that same church, probably was a kid at that time, and I didn't even know he was a kid. There's a bunch of noisy little kids that run up and down, ripping and snorting. He might have been one of the snorters. But anyway, I said, they're having revival over there. I'll just go on in, and I'll get dressed, and I'll go to that revival. Don't look like God's going to save me. Well, I walked into the door, and just as I turned on the water faucet and looked in that mirror, somebody else was in that room. Oh, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, got a hold of me. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that weight that I'd been carrying for those 2 months or longer went off of me at my shoulders, and I became a member, a citizen of a new world. I said that to say this. It's a good day to be a Christian. I trust every one of you under the sound of my voice this evening know the Lord Jesus Christ. Through my years of ministry, in over 40-something years all total, I've seen people walk the aisle. I've shaken their hands. I've carried them into the watery pool, baptized them, and never saw a fruit, a result of some of them. Tonight, let me challenge you. Be sure that your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. When we organized this church about 37 years ago, we purposed in our heart that it would always be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church. And through the years, we've seen so many walk through these doors and get in these altars and become a member of the family of God. Time moves on. We've seen so many of them rolled down the aisle in a casket. Some moved away. I'm sad to say some drifted away. But tonight, church, would you allow me to challenge you? We're close to the finish line. And I want to have a peaceful heart so that when I can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I can hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter in." There's been a lot of water that's gone under the bridge. I don't know how much longer that we're going to be here. I'm not going to speak on prophecy. But I want to tell you one thing. If you've got a peaceful heart tonight, whether you voted right or left, up or down, if there's such a thing, it doesn't matter. Because my God is still in control. I get excited about America because I'm an American. I believe in waving the flag of the United States of America. I would never do anything to disgrace that flag. I would never drag it in the mud. I would hold it high. But I don't tell you there's a flag higher than that. And his banner speaks louder. And it's joy over us because his banner over us brings joy in our heart. I love to come to church. I sure am loving sitting down there. I like to watch the young whippersnapper. Isn't he getting better and better? I'm proud of that man. I knew the day that we brought him here that that was God's perfect will. Pray for him, but he's going through a little valley right now. We're trusting that it's just going to be minimal. But whatever God ordains, I'm sure that he will say, thy will be done. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and I will be brief tonight. We talk about peace. Have you heard much of that on the radio or television lately? I understand that things are so explosive in the Middle East, and that's not a prophetic statement. I understand that they're rejoicing in Cuba. I understand that the European Union is really rocking. And I understand that America is shaken to the core. But do you know one thing? My God has not moved. It hasn't bothered him one bit. He has not lost one night's sleep. By the way, I don't think he ever... Brother Joy, I don't think he sleeps. Is he? And that's what I can't figure out. I have studied that, wondered that, and I thought, my word, how in the world could anyone exist and not be able to sleep? I'm thinking about the bed right now. But my God has always been. He's pre-existent. You say, explain it, Brother Melvin. I will explain it when I get there and he tells me. But I trust you'll be there and you'll hear the explanation how he has always been. But I declare to you tonight, he's an on-time God. And I want my heart to be settled on that. In the book of Philippians, and I'll speak very briefly on this subject, principles for a peaceful heart. We look at four different principles tonight. The first one is the biblical joy. The Bible says joy unspeakable and full of glory. But in verse number 4 is the one I want to particularly look at right now. The great apostle says simply this, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, that does not mean that we're supposed to go around shouting all the time. That does not mean that we're supposed to go around happy, 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 happy all the time. These folks that never have anything but happy, 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 I wonder about them. But, dear friend, I want to tell you, in spite of the things that we are confronted with, we can rejoice because God never makes a mistake. I don't understand why things happen. I don't understand why Brother Alton has to be over in the hospital. I don't understand why Dave had to go and have his throat operated on the other day, my son. I don't understand. He served God faithfully, raised him in the Christian home, saw him when he was saved at a young age, and has been singing the glory of God all these years. I don't understand now why his throat's been attacked. But God knows. He has a reason. He has a purpose. You say, well, Brother Melvin, I'm going through it pretty tough right now. Well, just remember this one thing. He'll never bring you to it if he won't bring you through it. He will never bring you to that troubled door if he cannot walk you through it and walk through it with you. He's an on-time God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he says, I'll say rejoice. So that's why we sing praises around here. Boy, don't we have a great choir. Man, we have some of the best musicians. And we have some of the best. We're known all over this area about that singing down at Westside Baptist Church. They got it on. But see, it's a rejoice. But now see, we can rejoice and not even be singing in the choir. You can rejoice in the pew. Some of you, y'all rejoice, and you're happy as you rejoice. It's a smile on your face. It's a pep in your step. It's an attitude of happiness. But you see, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. See, biblical joy is a deep confidence. I remember a deep confidence that all is well in your soul. I get disturbed sometimes. Things happen in my life, just like anybody else. But when I remember this one thing, God is in control, and He will bring me through it. Regardless of the outcome, it will be His perfect will. And dear friend, when we settle our minds, when we settle our hearts on the fact that God is with us, that He is present, and He says He would never leave us, He would never forsake us. Remember this one thing. He'll never let you sink. We see the biblical joy and the deep confidence that all's well in your soul. And it's no matter what kind of circumstance we may be in. Look at Stephen. We had the privilege a few years ago of going to Israel. And we were in the area in which Stephen, that great man who would not recant, was dragged out of the city and carried and stoned to death. And then on his dying words, he said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friend, we have people that will turn on us, will hurt us, say evil things, do evil things against us, trying to hurt us. But we should never retaliate and have an attitude of revenge or hating off. We should be like Stephen, that great man of God that would not recant when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They were doing it in ignorance. And so many times, people will hurt us. So many times, they will say nasty things about us. But credit it to this one thing. If they don't know Jesus Christ, they are in spiritual ignorance. Now, Paul and Silas also were in the Philippian jail. They preached the gospel, and they were thrown in there. But remember this, God did not forget them nor forsake them, because He miraculously opened the jailhouse doors and released them. You say, well, Brother Melvin, that is material. That is something that happened. That's a material thing that happened to those jail. He opened those miraculous, opened those jail doors, and they walked out. Well, listen, let me tell you about a greater miracle. The day He opened the jailhouse door of my soul, and I walked out. And you walked out. Saved, released, a new creation in Christ Jesus. A good day to be a Christian. I look around and I see that a lot of you have had circumstances in your life here recently, some heartrending. You might not feel happy because of your circumstances. But I want to tell you this. You should have biblical joy in your heart because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Your soul. Principles of a peaceful heart. Principle number two, having a forgiving, forbearing spirit. Paul goes on to write in chapter 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto men. The Lord is at hand. This is moderation, which is forbearing spirit, and it denotes the patient bearing of abuse at the hands of others. And I don't know what the future holds around here for America. They're saying that things are going to get bad, get worse. I'm not wringing my hands over that. If it does, God's still in control. But here's one thing, dear friend. What we're seeing on the streets of America is enough to cause us to become bitter at what they're doing. But rather than become bitter at what they're doing on the streets here in America and the other things that they're doing trying to bring America down, we should not be trashing them. We should be praying for them. You see, they may be our enemies, but we sure can be their friend. Now, a person has several choices to choose from. We can be filled with hard feelings toward those that are abusing us. We can be so upset and say, well, now they just, the government's not treating us, the society's not treating us, this was not true, and we're being abused. But listen, I want to tell you, when your heart's settled on God, let Him take care of it. You don't have to worry about these things. Oh, listen. Basically, in other words, turn the cheek. Get him close to the closing. Principle number 3. And the Bible says that we're supposed to be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. God, and He alone, my dear friend, is the solution to all of our anxiousness in prayer. The things that we become so anxious over, the things that are pressuring us down, pushing us down. Now, I realize, and I look over and through a lot of folk that are not even here tonight are in situations such as this. Things are, they're having various types of problems. Well, you know what? If we let those problems weight us down, those problems will become so heavy that they're going to compress us down. But when we turn it over to Jesus, let Him handle it, dear friend. That's what He's talking about. Jesus says to them, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then as we go to Psalms chapter 66, verse 18, for if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Listen, if we have unconfessed sin, now we'll have an altar call in just a minute. Now the altar calls, you say, well, now, Brother Melvin, that's for those lost sinners, those hell-bound sinners. The altars are open for the saints. You say, well, now, are you not supposed to witness and win souls? Absolutely, we are. But don't forget, Christian, we have the altar for the saints of God. Regardless of the situation you might be facing, hey, sometimes it's just good to get in the altar and say, Lord, I'm not having a problem today. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Have you done that lately? Just thank Him for the goodness. We just had Thanksgiving season. I guarantee you, half of us will be so thankful for that turkey and that dressing that we had. I wonder if we really thanked God because we lived in a place of freedom that we could worship in freedom. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast out all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Cast Him. That's the emphasis tonight. If you're carrying a burden, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you're facing a difficult situation on your job, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you're having family situations, bring it to the Lord and take it to Him in prayer. If you have physical needs, take it to the Lord in prayer. Regardless, and you might say, well, Brother Melvin, I don't have any of these. Well, take it to the Lord in prayer in thanksgiving. And say, thank you, Lord, because I'm having it pretty good right now. Because you see, He could turn that page tomorrow and it'd be a different story. Every head bowed and every eye closed, they come with a song of invitation. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, in your holy name, we thank you, Lord, for Calvary. We thank you, Lord, for the empty tomb. We thank you, Lord, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for your children today. I want to pray for a young Alton right now. Lord, we trust that he's not in a storm. We trust that the report is going to be very simple and easily treated. But Lord, I pray for the family right now that you'll, Lord, sustain them and encourage them in this hour. I thank you for the church, Westside. Thank you for these precious people, these children of God, these that have come out tonight in this bad weather to worship you tonight. I ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one of them tonight in a special way. And Heavenly Father, if there's one that does not know you, would you tenderly touch their heart right now and show them their lack of salvation, lack of relationship, lack of a hope, and even a lack of a home. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing what verse, what song? Just as I am. Let's sing out to the glory of God, and you obey the Lord tonight.
Just as I am.
If you have a need and you want to pray, come on down and talk to the Lord about it tonight. Prayer